Amen. Thank the Lord for the public prayer, and I hope you'll continue to be prayerful as I endeavor to preach to you tonight. You know, worship, we sing a song often, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Worship is really all about God. And we meet here at Cool Springs 7 times a month without any extra meetings. And we meet 7 times a month to learn about Him, to worship Him, to praise Him. And then we have extra meetings like we've had this weekend. And in those worship services, hopefully we are learning more about God. The Apostle Peter closed out his second epistle by admonishing the church to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We all, worship should help us all to become more gracious. Do y'all agree? We ought to, as we spend time in God's presence and with His people around the Bible, we ought to become more humble, more loving, more gracious, and we ought to become more knowledgeable about our God. But tonight, I want to begin by noticing with you a scripture in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Jesus Christ is thanking the Father that he has hid things, the gospel, from the wise and the prudent, and he has revealed them unto babes. It is only by God's power that God himself can be revealed to people. You and I may know a lot about God, but we'll never know him until he comes to us in his grace and blesses us to know him. I know a lot about Winston Churchill. I've always been fascinated with Winston Churchill. I heard somebody say one time we'd all be speaking German if it wasn't for Winston Churchill. He was a brilliant leader of the Allied forces. I always said if I had a son, I believe I'd name him Winston. I knew a lot about Winston Churchill. I've read a lot of his writings. I've read books about him. I've watched documentaries. I know a lot about Winston Churchill, but I don't know Winston because I never met him. Now, people can know about God, but not know him. Like, for instance, this weekend, you all had heard me talk about Brother Josh Coker. You knew about him, but you didn't know him until this weekend. Well, how does somebody really come to know God? Not just to know about him, but to know him. It comes by him revealing himself to you. And God alone can do that. People can teach you about God, but only God himself can teach you to know him. Now, I want to turn over just a moment to John chapter 6, where our Savior said in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. God himself is a teacher, and he teaches us to know him. It's an amazing mystery how God does that. And a person can know God even though they've never heard anybody talk about him. They don't have a Bible. They don't never been to church. But God can teach them to know him through his mighty power. I tell you something that might help us all to understand this. when a baby is born into this world, that baby instinctively knows its mother. That's amazing. But it's true. The little newborn baby knows its mother. Innately, it knows its mother. Now, it doesn't know its mother's name. It doesn't know anything much about its mother, but it knows her. It just simply knows its mother. Nobody taught that baby to know its mother. It just knows it through nature, through the process of nature that God created. Now, if you know God tonight, it's because God taught you through the Spirit to know Him. It's a sovereign work of God. And I'll give you an illustration that maybe you're familiar with, Helen Keller. You know, when I was growing up, we heard a lot about Helen Keller, even in our schools. I don't know if they're taught much about her now anymore, but she was a little girl in Alabama. And when she was about a month old, she had a fever that left her blind and deaf. Now, she's a month old. And this fever has left her without any vision or any hearing. And this little baby is locked up in a world of total silence and total darkness. How is anybody ever going to be able to teach Helen Keller anything? She was a little monster. And I say that respectfully. She was wild. The parents had no way of communicating with her. They didn't know how to feed her. They just, you know, it was just an awful time. But a teacher came to the home named Ann Sullivan. And Ann Sullivan had handicaps herself. And she had a heart for the disabled. And she began to work with Helen Keller. And eventually, she taught this little girl the English language through the sense of touch. You know, when you lose one sense, the other senses are strengthened. Now, here is a little girl that can't see, she can't hear, but Ann Sullivan is able to teach her how to read and how to write. I've been to her home in North Alabama, and there's a water pump out in the backyard of this house, and Ann Sullivan taught her to spell water by holding her hand under the water as she spelled out the letters. Now, it took a while. Took a lot of patience on Ann Sullivan's part, but she eventually taught Helen Keller how to read and how to write. And Helen Keller became one of the greatest women of the 20th century. She traveled the world. She wrote a lot of books. She had a brilliant mind, but she was shut up in a world of darkness and silence. But on the internet, you can find correspondence that she had with a Bishop Brooks. And she would tell him in her correspondence with him that before anybody ever told her anything about God, she knew Him. How do you reckon Helen Keller learned about God? It wasn't her parents that taught her. It wasn't Ann Sullivan that taught her. God Himself taught her to know Him, even though she couldn't hear and she couldn't see. I tell you about a God tonight who has all power. And He can reach even the unborn child and teach them to know Him. So, Jesus says, quoting from the prophets, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. That is, all of God's children, all of His elect that He chose before the foundation of the world, that He loves with a perfect love. Every one of them will be taught of God to know Him. Not taught about Him, but taught of God. That is an amazing thing. And we believe it tonight as Old Baptists, that our God is able to teach people to know Him. Somebody on a island out in the Pacific that's never been to church, never seen a Bible, never heard the name of Jesus, how are they going to be reached? Through the Holy Spirit of God. I tried to preach recently somewhere, the wind blows where it listeth. We saw that Friday, didn't we? Wasn't that, you know, wind got up about 30, 40 miles an hour at our house. You know, I didn't have any control over that wind. I said to one sister in the church as we were coming in and the wind was blowing her hair, I said, the wind blows where it pleases. And she said, yes, and it blows when it pleases. She had some knowledge of the Bible. Do y'all know the wind blows where it pleases and when it pleases? I told Brother Gary Hall, I said, it's a good day to be bald-headed. He said, every day is a good day to be bald-headed. But I want to tell you, the wind goes where it pleases, when it pleases, and Jesus uses the wind to represent the Holy Spirit of God. And let me tell you, if you ever come to understand that truth, it will bring you immeasurable peace and joy to know that our God can reach His people without the assistance of preachers, missionaries, evangelists, or anybody else. He does it Himself. We rejoice this evening in a sovereign God who can teach His children to know Him. Not to know about Him, but to know Him. You know, in Acts chapter 17, when the Apostle Paul got to Athens, Greece, his spirit was troubled in him because of all of the idolatry in the city of Athens. He saw monuments to this god and to this god and to that god. But there was one most unusual monument there, and it was to the unknown God. Now, I want to think with you a moment about that statement in Athens on that monument. It didn't say to the unknown gods, plural. I've heard people say now, what those Athenians were doing was this. They were just covering all the bases. In other words, there may be a god that we've overlooked, so we're gonna put a monument up to the unknown gods, plural. No, that's not what the monument said. To the unknown God, singular. What I believe is that God, in His sovereign grace, had taught many of those Athenians to know Him in their hearts, in their spirits, even though they didn't know His name. So they called Him the unknown God. Aren't y'all rejoicing tonight in a God who is sovereign, who can teach people all over this world to know Him in spite of the iron curtain or the bamboo curtain, in spite of a little girl being blind and deaf? And listen, we have children born into this world and their minds are damaged and they'll never be able to learn, but God can teach them. Oh, how we rejoice in that. Now God, as I've often said, wrote two books. He wrote the book of nature and then He wrote this book. And the book of nature will teach us a lot about God. You know, David said in the Psalms, Psalm 19, the heavens declare something. Now, I've never heard the heavens audibly. I'm sure the sun is declaring something. The moon is declaring something. The stars are declaring something. But we don't hear them with our natural eye, but they speak to us. And what do they declare? The glory of God. And you and I would be a lot better off probably emotionally, mentally, and physically if we spent more time out in nature. I don't know that it was normal or natural for man to always live in four walls. We'd probably be a lot better off if we spent more time out in nature. walking around barefooted, connecting with God's creation instead of being shut up, especially in our day, watching a screen. We'd just be better off out in nature. God teaches us. God, you know what nature teaches us? That God cares for the birds and he cares for the flowers. This week I cut my grass and I was just amazed. After cutting the grass, there must have been 25 birds in my backyard. They were finding bugs and worms. They were having a feast. And God was taking care of them. A friend of mine in Birmingham years ago brought me a bird feeder and a bag of bird feed. He said, I want you to help God. Well, I enjoy feeding birds. But he doesn't need my help. I enjoy watching them feed. But let me tell you, my friends, our God takes care of the birds. And he takes care of the flowers. He's maintaining the creation. And nature will teach us that the God of this universe is a God of limitless power. He's sovereign in his power. And then God gave us the book that I'm looking at tonight, the Holy Scriptures, and it teaches us that you and I are more valuable to God than the birds and the flowers. And he's taken care of the birds and the flowers, but you know what? He didn't give his son to die for the birds and the flowers. He gave his son to die for you and me. You think he cares for you? Let me tell you tonight, you could have 5 earned doctorates in various subjects and have a brilliant mind, you know, a genius mind, an IQ off the charts, and that would probably be a benefit to you in some ways. But let me tell you, if you know there's a God and you know he loves you, you have the most valuable information a human being will ever know on the face of this earth. Can you imagine anything you could go tonight that would be more valuable than to know there's a God and he cares for you and he loves you and he's watching out for you? I tell you, when we get our minds on that and we keep our minds focused on that, it'll help us to experience a peace and a joy that will never know otherwise. And the Word of God and nature itself teaches us that our God has all power, both in heaven and in earth. And he's an all-knowing God. You know, Albert Einstein said that the God that created this universe doesn't have anything to learn. And he wasn't throwing dice when he created it. He created it intelligently. He created it on purpose. He's an all-knowing God. And the Bible teaches us he's a holy God and a just God. And the Bible teaches us he's a loving God and a merciful God. And I've enjoyed spending this weekend here at Cool Springs learning more about my God and my Savior. You know, we went down yesterday to the old Lamb Country Store, and we just had a real good time down there, fellowship and singing and socializing. James Ray said, Sam, I've got a picture I want you to see. And it was a picture of my dad marrying James Ray and Janice. Now that picture's got to be, I don't know, 60 years old. You know, when my dad was on earth, we didn't take many pictures. We just don't have many pictures of mama and daddy. It's not like it is today. We got, how many pictures have you got on your phone right now? Hundreds, probably thousands. Well, cameras weren't available. I tell you, it thrilled me to see my daddy all dressed up in Nathan Howell's living room performing a wedding for James Ray and Janice. See, I didn't get to know my dad like a lot of you got to know your dad. I was 10 when he had a massive stroke. And he never could call my name after that. His mind was damaged. His body was paralyzed. But I tell you, it just thrilled me to have a picture of my daddy. I got it on my phone. Now, I want to tell you all this evening, I've got a heavenly Father in glory that I can learn about every day of my life. And there's, and you know, this book is just full of pictures of him. It is. Today we heard a great sermon on a story from the Old Testament, David and Goliath. And God revealed himself to us in the Old Testament through a lot of stories. We don't have those in Romans. There's not any stories in the book of Romans. Now, the book of Romans will tell you a lot about God if you'll roam through Romans. And if you've ever spent much time reading the book of Romans, you know you can study it for a lifetime and never begin to dig out all the riches there. But God has given us pictures of himself in this book. And how many of y'all ever just... Nelda loves to look at pictures. She is fascinated with pictures. She's got a phone full of them. I was so glad when they came out with smartphones where they could take pictures and you didn't have to have them developed, because half of them would develop and it was expensive. Nelda's always taking pictures. Pictures of the children, the grandchildren. She loves to take pictures of you all at church, and she loves to look at them. But you know what? She likes to take pictures of people she knows, and she likes to look at pictures of people she knows. If she went into somebody's home she didn't know, and they got albums of pictures there, she might glance at them, but that would be it. Right? I've been on airplanes sitting next to grandmamas that wanted me to look at all the pictures of the grandkids. Y'all ever had that experience? Well, I get it now. You know, when I look at my grandkids on my phone, I want y'all to see them. They're just cute as they can be, sweet. But other people don't get it. If they're not in the family, they just kind of don't get it. Well, let me tell you. If you're in God's family, you love this picture album. It's all about your family, your father, your Savior, your brothers, your sisters in Christ. I love to look at Abraham. What about y'all? I love to read about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, because they're my kin. They're my family. See, if you've been born of the Spirit and brought into the family of God, you're interested in God, and you're interested in coming to church. And what a preacher does when he gets up here is just open the family album and show y'all Jesus Christ. That's what our brethren have been doing for us this weekend. And you know, you just kind of don't get tired of it. May God bless us with understanding tonight.